Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Grateful that you are here with us. 9 minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. In the studio with us is our friend Desmond Adams. Desmond is a businessman, nonprofit board member who sits on the Mercy College of Health Sciences board, a professional public speaker, and of course, a friend. Welcome back, sir, and thanks for carving out a little bit of time for us this afternoon.
Michael, it's always a pleasure.
You know, there's a lot of stuff I've got on my head today, and I'm grateful. You know, we did not plan obviously this, but we planned long time ago that you would be a guest on a regular basis with us here in on the NewsHour, and you've been able to share all kinds of personal stories about business, tips about all kinds of different things. But recently you've been out there kind of traversing around in Southwest Iowa talking to a whole bunch of folks about a whole bunch of issues. I'm not going to ask you exactly why you've been doing that, but I'd be interested to hear what you're hearing. What are people outside of the metro area, what are they talking about? What are they concerned about? What are they looking forward to in the future?
Certainly, people are really sharing that they're feeling a little disconnected from government, disconnected from opportunity,
yeah.
Disconnected from feeling as if they have a chance to be successful, where you can play the game correctly, you could go to school, you could work hard, and yet you still can't get ahead. That's challenging to a lot of people. That economic divide right now is really being driven home in the conversations I'm having.
You know, we talk about this a lot, about how wages are relatively stagnant in this country, how prices continue to go up. Numbers went up just last month, as a matter of fact, by, I believe it was 0.4%, based mostly on increased costs of fuel. And today, oil traded over $60 a barrel again. However, individuals are not feeling as though the recession is over for them. I mean, many are still stuck in the same level, in the same job, or the same. So, how frustrating is this? What are you hearing out there?
You know, when folks don't have disposable income where they can enjoy their time with their family, yet they're working 50 or 60 hours a week, and in some cases, patchworking 2 to 3 part-time jobs together. In other cases, having a full-time job in addition to a part-time job, it really adds a stress. It adds a stress on the family, where individuals are not home, and when they are home, they're tired and they can't spend good quality time together. That is starting to wear on people. In addition to the costs that continue to escalate, adjusted for inflation. Salaries have not adjusted. Yeah. They have not moved. Mm-hmm. Not adjusted for inflation.
Not for years.
Not for years. I believe there's been three increases in the last 35 years, if I'm not mistaken, regarding the minimum wage. But when you take into account the inflation adjusted, it's even lower than mm-hmm. 7.25. But yet, you know, gallons of milk are still $3.75 and the like.
Yeah, just yesterday I happened to go rolling through the grocery store in Windsor Heights, by the way, and I happened to look at the egg prices, $2.47 for a dozen eggs today, mainly because of the avian influenza
yes.
epidemic that have killed millions of birds here in Iowa and across the Midwest. But that's a real cost to families and individuals, and if, you know, and it's maddening. You know, one thing about the minimum wage I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, and this is seminal, I think, to the discussion, is we hear lots of people talk about, well, you can't raise the minimum wage above $7.25 an hour, because if you do that, people are going to lay off people, they're not going to be able to work there, they're going to replace them with machines, all these other kinds of things are going to happen. But Desmond, those are the same exact arguments that people used when the minimum wage was enacted years ago, and it didn't come to pass. So what's going on? Is it a fear factor?
Well, you know, Michael, we talked, as you mentioned in the outset of your program, over the last year plus, the reality is there is a machine that's in place because folks benefit when there is divisiveness.
Yeah.
And if we dealt with facts, we wouldn't necessarily be in the same arguments or positions that we are today. But yes, economists have stated that raising the minimum wage provides what? More money to be to do what? To spend.
Buy stuff?
To buy stuff, which means more money circulates and is not on the sidelines. It's really an ideological difference. It's, do you think that you should hold money at the top of the pyramid, so to speak, the top of the economic food chain, and hopefully it will be distributed down? Or do you believe that money should be grown in the middle of the food chain so that individuals can spend money and then have a chance to go up?
I think that other way was called by former President Bush voodoo economics.
That was in response to Reagan economics.
That's exactly right.
Bush called Reagan economics voodoo economics.
And many times they're still there. I want to talk about something else off of the economic side of this. And this is not political. This is tragedy. Today, President Obama spoke, and you know, I was watching this, and Vice President Joe Biden was standing next to him. Joe, who just lost his son from cancer, you know, just shocking stuff. But they were talking about the Charleston shooting at the AME Mother Church in Charleston, and the nine people that died at the hand of what clearly looks like to be a racially motivated crime. Desmond, I am beyond grief, really, seriously. For those family members, for their extended families, for all of the people that are involved in this. And, you know, we've got some serious issues in this nation. And it's truly sad that we can't seem to have an intelligent discussion about lots of different things, whether it's race to immigration to gun violence. And today on social media, I'm looking at some of the comments that are out there. And many people have been very supportive of the AME Church, very supportive of what the government's trying to deal with. But there's also some posts out there that are so callous and so hateful and so political. Why? Is that what you're talking about with this divisiveness that drives dollars to people? Or what is it?
Well, first, Michael, I have to say that my heart and my family's heart and my prayers and my family's prayers go out to the multitude of families, both directly connected and impacted, and those that are indirectly connected and impacted. That community right now is obviously struggling significantly as they deal with the emotional ramifications of such a depraved heart that would do what that gentleman has been accused of doing. So first, I'd like to say that. Secondarily, it's dare I say, race has always been a challenge because of how the country was founded and some of the challenges in which existed in the creation. But yet, this impact has a feeling of an attack on the American way of life. It's not new to the minority community for a church to be attacked and for individuals to be attacked. However, when the freedom of worshiping your God, whomever your God is attacked in this country, that's a significant challenge that should really bridle the support of all citizens whom enjoy the privilege of residing in such a beautiful country.
Well, this is one of the things President Obama said today, and I thought it was really interesting. He said, quote, "Now is the time for mourning and for healing, but let's be clear. At some point, we as a country will have to reckon with the fact that this type of mass violence does not happen in other advanced countries. It doesn't happen in other places with this kind of frequency."
Well, there's a confluence of issues and a confluence of factors in my opinion, is making this unfortunately a ripe situation for such depraved activity. It's not simply guns. I understand that guns don't necessarily kill people. People kill people. However, we can have universal background checks. We can do things to make certain that people are responsible, that have the ability to secure such firearms. But in addition to that, we also have to deal with our mental health, We can't cut services and social services in this country. Some individuals obviously need more assistance than others. At the same time that we also are having this economic challenge and this disparity, tremendous disparity in equality from an income standpoint. So when you put all of this in the mix and then you sprinkle some race or some culture or differences of people, which have always been a challenge for us. That makes it just an explosive powder keg. And then I have to say one more thing. When we have reckless leaders like Donald Trump that are reckless in what they say by calling out you know, Mexico and citizens of Mexican descent and lumping them all in one breath. When we have reckless leaders that are seeking political office in this country, that does not disseminate, that does not help us in this environment, that actually adds to the divisiveness and hurts us even further. It's time that we start to hold our leaders responsible for their comments and the direction and the policies in which they have. But their policies are not directed for all people, they're directed for a few people, and that's why another reason, when you put it in the mix with all the other challenges that we have, it's a perfect confluence for this depraved activity.
Desmond Adams, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Desmond, for coming on, and good luck in your travels as you travel throughout southwestern Iowa, shaking hands and kissing babies and patting folks on the back. It was a pleasure to be with you all day on Sunday as we traveled up to Lake Panorama and then over to Warren County for a little festival.
Absolutely. Thank you, Michael, and I appreciate you, and look forward to chatting with you very soon.
Absolutely. Desmond Adams, ladies and gentlemen, you can find out more on DesmondAdams.com. That's DesmondAdams.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a seminal interview about caring for mom and dad. Terry and John Hale, next on the NewsHour. I was searching.